Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, where we bring you all the news from the nation's capital that the government does not want you to know. Today, I want to talk about religion. It's actually a subject that's come up frequently in my show, and particularly on the weblog at RadioInsideScoop.com. It seems that whenever we talk about something, whether it's the war in Iraq, or Social Security, or tax cuts, or more obvious subjects such as evolution, Bush's faith-based initiative, abortion, homosexuality. Whenever we talk about subjects, a number of you bring up religion. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that religion informs our lives. And it actually is in many respects, it's the basis, the foundation for our beliefs. Religion is what gets us up in the morning. It doesn't just encourage and describe our political views. It's something that is very much the fabric of our beings. And yet, anyone will tell you that if you have a group of strangers over for dinner, there are two subjects you shouldn't discuss: religion and politics. They are the subjects most likely to offend. Talk about sports. Talk about movies. When you talk about religion and politics, you get to the very core of people's beings. And if that's true in politics, it's doubly true in religion. People's religious beliefs go to the very fabric of their souls. It is indeed the makeup of where we come from. And as much as this is a topic that, well, it may well offend, I'm intrepid enough to try to bring it to you, to try to discuss it on the air, to get your views, particularly where we reach the combination, the most scary combination of all, that combination of religion and politics. When should religion play a political role? When should the government control religion? You know, if we look throughout history and we see where religion and politics have come together, it's often not a pretty sight. Obviously, I'm not just talking about September 11th with the Taliban, which obviously is a religious political structure, or certainly that's true in Iran, but also throughout history. Look at the Crusades, look at the Inquisitions. There have been time after time when religious wars have torn human beings apart. And yet, atheism doesn't offer much better in that regard. After all, if you look at the two great atheist systems of our time, fascism and communism, they've also led a tremendous path of death and destruction. I would argue that our founders really were prescient, if you will. They were very, very smart in how they drafted the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. Congress shall pass no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Congress shall not establish a religion. Government shall not coerce a religion, shall not force you to believe this, that, or the other. And at the same time, shall never prohibit any religious belief. To me, that is the essence of a free country, and really the only compromise that makes sense. I would argue that any time a government tries to force religious belief, that causes a lack of liberty, that causes people to be angry, that causes, well, lack of human freedom. And yet, any time the country tries to enforce an absence of religious belief, you get to the same problem. So what is the compromise, the political compromise on religion? And how has this come up in policy after policy, whether it's the Bush's faith-based initiative or evolution in the schools or creationism in the schools, prayer in schools, Ten Commandments? Should they be in our courtrooms? And how do your religious sensibilities, your own beliefs, how do they describe your politics? It's interesting, as I've been reading on the blog, I will see we have someone who is an atheist, I believe, who writes on the blog and gives example after example of famous people and why they don't believe and trust religion. And then I have religious people on the blog who cite biblical citation after biblical citation. And I can't help but think that these people are talking past each other. They're not listening to what each other is saying. I don't see how an atheist can possibly be convinced by biblical passages, because to an atheist, the Bible is a book. That's all it is, and your citing the Bible has zero weight in their mind. And to a religious person, citing famous people who are atheists, again, doesn't really mean much. Yes, the guy was famous. Thomas Jefferson believed in a wall of separation between church and state, but that's not going to change my religious belief. In fact, I support Thomas Jefferson in that specific way. And one of the things I want to do today is talk about our own religious beliefs. I think it's fair that you know my own bias. You should know where I'm coming from, and though I don't often talk about my specific religious faith on air, I have mentioned that I'm Jewish, but the specific ways in which my politics are based on some of the philosophical precepts of Judaism, and frankly, I reject others. You should know where I'm coming from. So, at least today, I'm going to do something a little different and talk a little bit about my own personal religious beliefs and encourage you to call in and tell us yours. The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. What are your religious beliefs, and how do they encourage your political beliefs? How do they change, modify your political beliefs? When is it that your religion actually dictates your politics? Again, toll-free number 877-57-SCOOP. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
It's John Max Morrell. I sent you a book that was titled It's Religious Fundamentalism, Stupid.
Yes, you did.
And there were a few comments that I would like to make.
Please, go ahead.
The point of my book that I'm making is that Americans are so concerned about Islamic fundamentalism that they're not paying attention to the fact that we have Christian fundamentalism in our own country. And we have seem to have forgotten that we had some incidents of terrorism. David Koresh was taught by the Seventh-day Adventists his beliefs about the Bible, about the Book of Revelation, and that led him to do what he did in Waco, Texas.
There's also that group in San Diego, that cult that I guess castrated themselves and used Nikes to get to heaven. I don't remember all the details, but it certainly wasn't very pretty.
No, and then Timothy McVeigh himself was motivated by sympathy for David Koresh. He went down to Waco, Texas. So that all really stemmed from religious fundamentalism. But really, it isn't so much the danger of terrorism that is the big danger for American Christians. The danger is people like Jerry Falwell, who are persuading millions of Americans that that there should be no changes to the Bible. Now, the unfortunate thing about that is that just in the last 20 years, we have a group of scholars in Santa Rosa, California, called the Jesus Seminar, and they've come out with new translations of the Bible in there are some 75 world-class scholars from all the big universities, and their findings are that a good deal of what we have, our basic beliefs, are questionable, and we need to rethink Christianity altogether. Some of the basic things that are basic to Christianity, like the virgin birth, and even now they're thinking about the resurrection, that it was really spiritual experience, a visionary experience, rather than a physical happening. So some of the basic things about Christianity are going to have to be rethought. Now, it's the fundamentalists that are holding back the whole of Christianity from marching into the 21st century.
How are they doing that, John? How are fundamentalists holding back Christianity?
Because they make it a principle, as Jerry Falwell and others, that the principle is that the Bible cannot be touched. It's the Word of God, and you cannot alter one word of it. Well, that's the very thing that's been going on the last 100 years, especially in the last 20 years, that with this new Jesus Seminar. People should look up the Jesus Seminar. They have a website on the internet, and they tell about their books.
Well, John, let me ask you something. What do you think should be the role, if any, of religion and politics? Do you believe in what Thomas Jefferson said, a wall of separation between church and state?
That is a very important point, and I have a chapter titled "The Christian Religious Fundamentalism and the Separation of Church and State" in my book. And I believe that very much that there should be a separation of church and state. We don't have to go crazy on the subject. I see no objection to having the Ten Commandments around, things like that. You know, we don't have to go off the deep end on that. But
well, you know,
definitely think there should be a separation of church and state. That was a basic principle of our country.
You know, you say off the deep end. I mean, I happen to support the Ten Commandments as a somewhat...
I don't see an objection to having that in the schools or in a federal building somewhere. I've seen an objection to that.
I guess you and I disagree on that. Despite the fact that I personally have no problem with the Ten Commandments, I don't like the idea of a specific religious document being put out by our government as saying this is something that you should believe. I mean,
well, that's right. No, that's absolutely right.
I mean, it's one thing to say that the Ten Commandments is part of history. You know, teach it as part of history.
Sure.
Or, for example, the Supreme Court has the Ten Commandments along with other famous lawgivers, everyone from Hammurabi, who was clearly neither Christian nor Jewish, he was Babylonian, to the Ten Commandments, to, you know, other lawgivers. That I have no problem with because it puts it in historical context. But, for example, there's a case right now, I'm sure you know, in the United States Supreme Court, where the Texas Supreme Court, there was one in Alabama, puts a big Ten Commandments there and suggests that this religious document, and only this religious document, has the state's authority. And for me, even though I have no problem with the Ten Commandments personally, I think that is violating the First Amendment, Congress establishing a religion. I want to know if you agree with me.
Yes, I do. I agree with you. I think that, that there has to be a definite line there that... Because once you start crossing that line, then there's no limit to it. Then pretty soon, as a matter of fact, that was the main reason the pilgrims came over to America was because
Absolutely.
They were being told what to think, and they wanted freedom of religion. So they came over here to get away from religious persecution. So that's really the fundamental, fundamental things of our country.
Absolutely. John, let me ask you, if I can, a more personal question, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But part of our discussion today is sort of how our own personal religion infects, that's a bad word, let's say modifies, informs is a better word, informs our political beliefs. If you don't mind saying a little bit about your personal religious beliefs and how they inform
I'll
your...
I'll do that, but the one point I'd make initially is that the one reason I wrote my book, which is it's fundamentalism, it's religious fundamentalism is stupid, was that I was married to a woman who became a Seventh-day Adventist, and that broke up the marriage. So I know something about religious fundamentalism right from the inside out. And I was raised a Christian Scientist.
Okay.
And I have developed a philosophy of my own, which is in another book that I've written, The Elephant and the Blind Man.
Well, let's talk about this a little bit, because I think some of our listeners, and frankly, I myself am not aware of all the ins and outs of Christian Science. Some of it, when I think about Christian Science, and this may be completely unfair, I think of the people who don't want to give medical care to people who
that
are dying because they say it's against their religious beliefs.
That's
if God
right.
wants you to
and
die, you're meant to die.
I don't agree with that. If I got really sick, I'd run to a doctor. But there are Christian Scientists who just depend entirely on their faith and on prayer. And the reason is, more than anything, is because they have found that it's effective, and they find that everything from cancer to anything else has been healed by that means. But I wouldn't just depend on that. If I had a child, I wouldn't keep them from having medical care. So I'm not an extremist on that. But the thing that differentiates Christian Science from any of the other religions is that they teach that we are spiritual. We are entirely spiritual, and we're not matter and spirit. We are spiritual now. And I think they're the only faith that really make that point, which is just drilled into me, and it's my fundamental belief of the universe, is that the universe is spirit or consciousness. It's mind. The whole universe is just consciousness, and we're ideas, we're thoughts, And what appears to be solid is just a thought, as solid as it seems.
So how does that inform your political beliefs, your religious beliefs? How does that make you, does your religion make you more apt to care for the poor, or more apt to be pro-life or pro-choice on abortion, or your belief in gay rights or evolution or prayer in the schools? How does your religion inform your political beliefs, or do you get your political beliefs very much separate from your religious beliefs?
Well, I've always been a political person. And at the same time, I've been very much interested in religion is a key thing, really, in my life. And yet, I've always been very political. Well, I went to UCLA and majored in international relations. And so that was really a political thing. So I've been interested in politics. So I was interested in international relations all my life, and which is kind of touches on political science. And
Does your religion inform your political beliefs?
I don't know. I'm taught that love is the principal quality of God, and when you're taught that, then everything it filters into everything else. You're taught to love others and so forth, and that sort of filters into your attitude toward others and toward the universe and toward your fellow man.
You know, I think that's a good point. Frankly, it's one of the ways that I personally don't believe that science and religion are in conflict. I know some of you out there do, because it's very interesting. As much as you can talk about a scientific way in which the world was formed, or genetics works, or
this evolutionary business.
Right, but that's very different from saying love for fellow man. And that's why I've always believed that, and in fact, Bert writes on my weblog a really nice comment that I'll read when we get back from break, but that really talks about the ways in which religion and science can very much interact with each other, and both still be valid truths as long as they keep to their own
spirit. You know, I've thought about that very point. I have thought for a long time that there is no conflict between evolution and the Bible. You read the first chapter of the Bible, and it speaks about the creation of the world in so many days. Well, that was more of a poetic statement, and those 7 days can be thought of as
periods of time.
15 billion years, you know. It's really a poetical statement. They don't mean 7 literal days. That's the trouble with the fundamentalists. They take that literally as 7 actual days. Well, it doesn't mean they were poets, and you have to read the Bible poetically. It was written by people who were speaking poetically.
John,
you have to read it that way.
John, I agree with you very much. I do have to take a break. Thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate that.
Say, listen, I want to thank you for what you're doing. You're doing an awful lot of good, and I'm a liberal, and I thought I was going to die when Bush was elected, but I think with people like you around and we maybe have a chance in this country, and I just applaud you for what you're doing.
Well, John, I appreciate that. You know, my theme song is The Spirit of Man. I think the spirit of man lives on, and you can call that religious or non-religious, but, we never give up, and we should never give up.
Well, listen, I'd like to call you again sometime. I thank you for taking me right away. I appreciate that very much.
Well, and you're welcome to call in anytime.
Can I give my phone number?
Tell you what, why don't you email that to me separately so that you don't get inundated with calls?
All right.
All right. Email that to me separately, but you're always welcome to call into the Inside Scoop. Thank you very much for your call.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
We're going to take some other calls in a minute. Those of you that are on the line, please hang on. Don't hang up. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop and the discussion of religion and religion and politics. What are your religious beliefs? How do they inform your politics? And when is there too much religion in politics? And hey, when is there too little? Toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. We'll be right back after these messages.
Heard about heart disease, but did you know that it's the number one killer of women nationwide? Some of these women may have it and not even know it. Heart disease claims more lives each year than breast cancer, lung cancer, or strokes combined. But there are steps you can take to protect yourself against it. While not smoking, daily exercise, and a nutritious diet are good for your health, they're critical in the fight against heart disease. Most important, get regular checkups, and ask your doctor about risk factors, especially if you're over 40, when the risk of heart disease increases dramatically. For more information on how you can prevent heart disease, contact your local American Heart Association or visit their website at www.americanheart.org. It's never too late to protect your heart health. Start now.
If you're looking for a great deal, look no further than the CX4600 All-in-One from Epson. No one else gives you so many great features at such a brilliant price, like individual cartridges of DuraBrite ink for water, smudge, and fade-resistant photos, and built-in card slots to print directly from memory cards. You can also restore your old photos to their original beauty, all for around $99 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Buy now and also get a $20 reward card back by mail. For more brilliant deals, visit Epson.com/promotions.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Precious places. Timeless places. Places that, with your help, can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine, talking about, well, the two topics that you're not supposed to talk about in polite society, religion and politics. And the reason I'm talking about it, well, it's your fault, folks. So many of you on the weblog, whenever we get to a topic on virtually anything, you think that religion is important. And I don't disagree with you. I think religion very much informs our views. Many times when people make arguments, they will talk about everything but their religious views, and they'll do it. When people talk about abortion, they'll talk about whether the fetus is a life, whether from the moment of conception it's a life, and they'll make all kinds of political arguments, but they won't mention the fact that, yes, it's their religious beliefs that very much informs their views. And so today I want to pull back the curtain. I want to talk about our religious beliefs. Hell, I'll even talk about mine. Oops. There's a word that's religious that I shouldn't use. But that's exactly the point. We all think in religious terms, or even in anti-religious terms. Some of us have been so oppressed by religion as we've grown up that we very much respond against religion, very much coil against it. And so the question is, how does religion, how does it inform our political views, and what do you think about all the things this administration is doing? The faith-based initiative, the fact that the Christian coalition has become so much greater political force. Some of them even argue that they should be able to give tax-exempt contributions to politicians. How is it that religion informs your views? How is it that it should in our country? The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you're always welcome to contribute to the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine.
Yes, this is God from Michigan.
God, I didn't know you lived in Michigan. I heard you were everywhere. But
I am everywhere, but right now I'm concentrating my efforts in Michigan.
Really? Why Michigan, God?
Well, I am a progressive Democrat, you know, and I voted for John Kerry.
Well, that's understandable. I mean, Jesus looked out for the poor, so I would think you would vote for Kerry.
Of course. And I'm currently on a tour trying to back DOP legislation for the cabinet-level Secretary of Peace.
You know, I didn't realize God got so specifically into specific legislative battles, but obviously I sit corrected, God.
Well, be corrected, because
for every problem, I've already created a solution. And although we only have 55-some backers in the previous legislative session for this bill, this bill is not going to go away. It is just going to increase in support. And when we finally get progressive Democrats in office, when we finally see the beauty of the sky after the storm when Bush leaves, we will see a cabinet-level department, a Secretary of Peace, and a Department of Peace, which will offer solutions for conflict resolution around the world and also on interior problems, Atlanta problem where a young lady by the name of Ashley Smith acknowledged herself as an ever-present soldier.
Yes, in fact, her own religious beliefs very much tempered the murderous aggressiveness of a man who would probably have continued on a rampage if it had not been for the strength of her religion.
It was a perfect example of how love is a very potent force in conflict resolution, whereas a violent reprisal would probably have created an even greater mess.
Well, I think that's true in her case, but God, I have to ask, are you a pacifist? Do you think that evil can always be conquered through peaceful means?
Well, I cannot overrule the laws of cause and effect that the separation of man from God creates. I have to watch the laws of cause and effect play themselves out.
Now that's interesting, God, because you're very much, I guess, agreeing with my own religious beliefs. I'm very glad to speak to the Almighty and to know that my religious beliefs are approved by you. My own personal religious beliefs are exactly that man has free will. I don't believe God ordains all. I don't believe God made the 2000 Supreme Court decision. I think Justice Scalia did. I don't think that every single leader we have in the world is ordained by God, or even every world event is ordained by God, because I think there's a lot of free will that man has, if you will, because of the separation of man and God, that mankind can take actions that are very much ungodly. And I want to know, God, if you agree with me.
Well, yes, I do. But rest assured that all of the violence and horror and evil of the world will play itself out as an expression of love. That is the expression of my power, which will eventually, in a timeless situation, play itself out.
Wait, I don't understand. How can evil be an expression of love, God? Please explain this to me. I've never understood
within
you on
a,
this.
Within a time frame, evil has power, but it is just an illusion. In the timelessness of eternity, with the stinglessness of death, when there is no death, actually, when we mourn death, that is just an illusion. In timelessness, that will play itself out as an expression of love.
So in the afterworld, it's all okay, or am I missing something?
Well, I'm talking about the spirit world in which
you reside.
Right.
Well, God, let me ask you one more question, then I have to move on to other listeners who I hate to do that. I mean, to cut off God, I would think I'm going right to hell to do that, but I'm going to ask you...
I am the essence of love and forgiveness.
Well, I appreciate that forgiveness when I cut you off and move on to another caller, but let me ask you this one last question. What is God's view on politics? Are leaders ordained by you, or are they simply the product of human choices, some good and some ill?
Well, politicians, of course, are residing within the world of Maya, the world of cause and effect. I would not dabble into the wills of men.
So does God believe there should be separation of church and state?
God believes in the separation of church and state.
See, all right.
God believes in the universality of religion as being inclusive in trying to seek me.
Well, I appreciate that, and I've never had God call my radio show before.
Yes, you have.
Oh, actually, excuse me. God is always right.
I was angry that day.
Excuse me. That's right. I think there was one time before when God – I apologize. God is always right.
To the person I was talking to, because I had not given him brains, but an IOU for brains instead.
Well, God is always right, and I am corrected. Thank you very much for calling into the Inside Scoop. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Let me go to another caller who may not be quite as powerful as the Almighty. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hey, is this Brian from New Jersey?
You guessed it.
Okay, well, maybe you could just be God using a different voice. I don't know.
Well, technically, I guess in my belief, we all are God.
Well, okay, tell me about your beliefs and how they inform your politics.
How they form my politics, all right.
That's a tough question. You want to start with what you had in mind? We don't have to go to that just yet.
I'm not a Catholic. I guess technically I'm Jewish by blood, but I'm not I'm not a practicing Jew. I kind of read a whole bunch of Zen, I read a bunch of Buddhism, I read a whole bunch of my Jewish religion, a whole bunch of Christianity, and I kind of like a couple of things Jesus said, and I think the most prevalent thing that he said, in my opinion, is that we were all his brothers and sisters. And so therefore, if we're all his brothers and sisters and he's the Son of God, then we're all sons and daughters of God.
Okay.
And in that case, we should all just be humans, more or less, and look at one another in the eye. And if we're treating, if everybody is God, which I believe, then there's no reason, I guess this is where my politics come in, for us to have a war, because we're just killing ourselves, basically. If I kill my fellow neighbor, I've just killed God, in a sense. As far as heaven and hell are concerned, I don't believe in a heaven or hell. I just believe that there's something, but nothing that we can explain.
And, of course, the Bible teaches that man's created in God's image. So when you kill a man, you are, in his essence, killing God.
Exactly.
So what do you believe should be the role of government, if any, in promoting religion or in forbidding religion?
I think that two callers ago said it perfectly, that the pilgrims came over here, trying to get away from religious persecution. And when anybody tries to bring in a legislation, whether it be about abortion or gay rights or anything, even if it is a majority, it doesn't matter, because the minority of people who aren't in that religion should not have to be subjected to their religious laws, because it's a belief. It's not something that's fact. It's something that they believe. You can't prove or disprove God, and that's why it's such an incredible thing. But you shouldn't be able to push your beliefs on somebody else just because, they're wrong and you're right, because that doesn't make sense.
Do you see that happening more today than it did 10, 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah, a little. I mean, it's always been there, and we've always tried to fight it back, and I'm sure that we'll beat it back again, but this administration is obviously extremely pro-Christian or Catholic, and they're really shoving it down all of our throats, unfortunately. But, your theme song, you said you have faith in the human spirit, and so do I, and I think that we'll fight back. And it may be bad now, but give it 5-10 years, and I think we'll be okay.
You know, what's interesting about my theme song, and I did choose it carefully, is that I would hope it's the kind of song that a very religious Christian and Jew and Muslim and an atheist would also celebrate, because it celebrates the spirit of man, not just man, but the spirit of man, the spirituality, I think, that draws us all together. And let me just give a little bit of praise, after all, I play him every day, to Chris DeBerg, because what he writes is, I'm chasing a shadow, I can't see a thing, it's slipping and sliding, the closer I get, it seems to slip away. To me, and I'll talk a little bit more about this after the break, but part of what I do every day is seek truth as best I can with my limited understanding, understand it, whether it be a crass political truth, what's going on in the Capitol, or today when I'm trying to be a little more philosophical. I think we all are and should seek that truth, seek the spirit that keeps us alive, and that's part of what I have in that song. It, to me, it's this idea of the spirit will, no matter what happens in the world, it is a world that we can change. And that's why I guess I firmly believe in the free will of mankind. I would think if man and women, if people have no power to change our planet, to change human existence, then I have to wonder.
It's apparent that we can easily do that. Anything that we think is obviously capable of being developed. Thomas Edison developed the light bulb, and he took him 10,000 times, but he finally got it just because he imagined it. So if we can imagine a better world, it's just implementing those imaginations and turning them into truth.
I agree with you, and I think that a holy place, and I happen to believe, and it sounds like you believe as well, Brian, that there's truth in virtually every religion. Maybe not everyone. I don't think Reverend Sun Myung Moon has any truth. But Buddhism, even secular humanists, I think, add a certain truth. And the one thing that I've said, the only thing, there's a lot more grays in the world than blacks and whites, and that's,
I agree.
And that's what I'm trying to convey here. Hey, thanks very much for your call,
thanks,
Brian.
Mark.
I do appreciate it. I have other callers hanging on. I want you to continue to hang on political beliefs, how it should inform your political beliefs, by dialing in 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or contribute to the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be right back after these short messages.
Consolidating your federal student loans. It's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is a financial update. Average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to four real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
I know everything. Languages? Yes. Boiling points? Celsius and Fahrenheit? Yes. World capitals? Please. So, not too long ago, I tried to get a refi, and it got turned down. And this is the best part. The loan officer says to me, sir, do you know what your credit score is? So, I looked at her and said, tell me, do you know what the population of Liechtenstein is? Huh? Do you? She didn't.
Get in the know. Check out ScorePower from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for only $14.95. And knowing that is how you get the credit you deserve. So check out ScorePower at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Well, now I have my credit score up to 760, the same number of days it took Frenchman Michel Lapointe to circle the globe on a bike. Yeah, I'll bet you didn't know that.
Get the power. Score power.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine. Today we're taking a bit of a philosophical turn because a lot of our politics are informed by our religion. People don't always say it, but a lot of times sit in the background, you've got religious beliefs that are really helping us decide what we think politically. That's certainly true for myself. I will, and I did promise I would give you my own religious beliefs. I will do that before the end of the hour. But until then, I want to hear your views. The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can write on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. I've been flipping through the comments on the blog, and as I'd said before, it's interesting to me how people are somewhat talking past each other. You have someone who's clearly an atheist, talking about all the other people who are atheists, and mentioning some pretty powerful quotes, saying that people have fear of religion, a fear of the unknown that makes them religious, citing, in fact, a politician, Jesse Ventura, who got in a lot of trouble for what he said. He said that organized religion is a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people who need strength in numbers. And in fact, of course, we know that Karl Marx said religion is the opiate of the masses. And yet, maybe it is. Maybe religion is something that helps keep us going, and maybe that's not such a bad thing. Then I have people who who write in, as someone who classifies himself as still thinking, who gives example after example of biblical quotes. This would be Scott. Gives a lot of examples of biblical quotes. Obviously, that's very powerful and important to him, but not likely to persuade someone who doesn't believe in the literal truth of the Bible. I want to praise Bert, because I think Bert actually gives the best combination of the two. I want to read a little bit from his blog, and then I will get to your calls. I know you're hanging on. Toll-free number, 877-57-SCOOP. Bert writes, in science, you have developed progressively more useful models of what happens in the universe. And that pretty much precludes the supernatural. It's against these things that creationists argue. But humans are not required to adopt only those ideas supported by science. For example, Bert writes, I love my brother, but no one can ever prove that scientifically. Similarly, I believe I have a relationship with God, though I hold this view on faith and not due to any scientific evidence. It seems to me, Bert writes, one of the big problems in our society is that science has been taken to be the only arbiter of truth. For something to be called non-scientific is tantamount to its not being real or relevant. The love I have for my family cannot be verified by science, yet it is important and relevant to me. Similarly, creationism cannot be verified by science, though it may be important and relevant nonetheless. It seems to me, Bert is making a very strong point that you can have religion and science, both powerful spheres in our lives. They don't have to conflict with each other. And Bert, I couldn't agree more, and I think you express it profoundly on the blog. Let me go to the phones now and hear what our caller's been hanging on. Thanks. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine.
Hey, Mark. Dave from California. I do love your program.
Thank you, Dave.
I had been leaning lately towards being something of a heathen, and then God called right into your program there.
Yes, there you go.
Decent, liberal, caring person, you know, like an entity. I'm amazed. I may have to rethink again. But
you know, I didn't even know God had a web, could listen to the web up there in heaven. But I guess when in Michigan, God can listen to my program.
Well, that was very refreshing, because I can tell you I am scared seriously about the kind of fundamentalism that is presently prevalent in our White House. And I think those who are fundamentalist Christians, Muslims, Jews, that are, you know, imposing their believe as I believe or go to hell and I'll help get you there, that is scary to me. But my own personal beliefs, I identify mostly with Baha'is and Unitarians.
Mm-hmm.
They're
two very peaceful religions. The other things about the Baha'is and Unitarians that I know exist, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, is that they believe that there's a lot of truth in a lot of religions. You don't have to believe solely in their religion to find truth.
No, not at all. In fact, the Baha'is, their main prophet, the Baha'u'llah, he feels that man's knowledge of his creator is comparable to the aphid on the apple, what that aphid knows about the farmer. That's comparable to what man's knowledge. So on that, you know, I'm not qualified to judge, you know, if it's that far removed. But to be, you know, as good a human being as you can be, that the burden is on us to try to improve that which is wrong, that we don't just simply burn a candle in front of a statue and hope that some other force will improve. We have to do it. I think that's the Baha'is and the Unitarians to get involved.
And that's very close to my belief, the spirit of man in Christa Berg's song, or even my own brand of Judaism. It's interesting, and now I will say a little bit about my own religious faith, some of the things that inform what I do. This famous rabbi, well, maybe famous only to people who really know Judaism pretty well, and I don't claim to be the ultimate scholar, but there's a rabbi by the name of Yochanan ben Zakkai who wrote 2,000 years ago. And the rabbi was asked, if you're busy planting a tree and they tell you the Messiah has come, what do you do? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, finish planting your tree and then go out and greet the Messiah. He said it is important to greet that Messiah. You've got to go out and greet, you know, someone who may be the savior of the world, but finish planting the tree first. The tree is something, as I understand his statement, that's firm, that lasts for the future. Trees last a very long time. It is work you do on earth to help out nature, to help out your fellow mankind. It's not that the religious sphere, the Messiah, isn't important. But it's more important what we do on earth. And I tell you, and again, I'm giving my own religious belief here, that whenever people ask me about the afterlife or my belief in the world to come, I like, and of course, under Judaism, you got so many scholars that there is no one opinion that's the arbiter of all. That's one of the reasons I like Judaism, frankly, is because we have a lot of disagreement. They say two Jews have three opinions. But one of the things that that I take out of Judaism is that the world to come, the afterlife, you know what? I'll worry about it when I get there. I'm going to have an eternity there. Maybe there is none. Maybe there is one. Whatever it is, I have an eternity to worry about it. All I know is what I see with my senses. I see the world around me. I see poverty. I see men mistreating other men. I see genocide in Sudan. I see unequal treatment of people here in America. And I say, this I can see with my own eyes. This I know occurs. This is something I can try to do something about. I can't hope to affect eternity. Okay. I can't happen to know, but this I can see. So to me, what Rabbi Zochanan's Ben Zakkai's comment means to me is that I've got to try to help the planet I'm on before I worry about these much more difficult eternal questions. And I'm curious to know if you share that belief.
I very much agree with everything you've just said there. You know, to me, honestly, if it turned out that any one of these thousands of religions that say, we're the right true one, and if you don't agree with us, you're doomed. If that's true, if there is actually one of them that's speaking the truth, you know, if the first three fundamentalist Southern Baptists are right, I don't want any part of that. I mean, what kind of a God is going to do that?
You know, that's a great point. You know, if I get to heaven or hell and meet a God that says, I'm sorry, you didn't accept this specific religion. You know, I'm the God of, I won't even name a religion, of religion X. And you didn't follow religion X, therefore I'm going to punish you. I will revolt as much as I can against that God and say, no, you know, that's not fair. You are not a good God. Any God that would take a human being who's done good works throughout his or her life and punish that human being for not having a certain kind of faith is not a God I will choose to worship now or in eternity. It's not a good God. That's my belief. So maybe I'll be struck by lightning tomorrow, and then we'll know. But
I love what happened with John the 23rd and the Catholic Church, and I hope
I do too. And I think the Catholic Church in Vatican II really reformed itself in a beautiful way. It's unusual given the history of the Catholic Church doing
and
things
they're
like
regressing.
Well, a little bit, but John the 23rd in a few short years did amazing changes that I don't think can be undone, and he really opened up, I think, Catholic views to recognize that there are other truths in other religions.
Thank you so much, Mark. This Pope is trying to say, no, we're the one right true religion again, though.
Yeah, and he's on his deathbed. I think this Pope, you know what's interesting about this Pope, and I'll just make this comment before we go to commercial. I think this Pope is very much informed by his background, which is a Polish Catholic background. It's interesting because once a man becomes Pope, people talk about him in this universal sense. But I believe that the Pope is a human being, like all of us human beings. And it's interesting to me that as a Polish Catholic, he actually was very good, very instrumental in trying to fight against communism, trying to fight for religious freedom, trying to fight against that kind of oppression. But at the same time, he's closed his eyes a bit to some of the oppression that Poles themselves have done. For example, in the Holocaust, is a clear example. I have condemned this Pope for trying to sanctify an earlier Pope who stood by and said silent. And I think that he's very much the creature of his time, and that's all we can expect humanity to be. And I think when we try to raise a certain human being above all of all others, then, it just magnifies their failings. I think the Pope is a good man. I think he means well, but I think he's very much trapped by his own preconceptions.
One redeeming quality with him is that he shares your view, my view, and much of the world's view that we have one truly disgusting president, and the distribution of wealth in this country is obscene. He feels that.
One of the things that I've always been very praiseworthy about the Catholic Church, and frankly I condemn a lot of the Protestant churches for this, is that the Catholic Church has always shown concern for the poor. It's striking to me that the New Testament, if you read it, I don't see any mention, particularly in the Gospels, of abortion, of capital gains tax cuts, of homosexuality. If there's any mention, they're few and far between. What I see Jesus talking about again and again is the same thing the Hebrew prophets talked about, frankly, the same things you find in Baha'i, Zen Buddhism, the Quran. It's concern for the poor. Jesus talked always about how the meek shall inherit the earth, how it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. This is a man who hung out with lepers, hung out with prostitutes, hung out with the least among us. And it's amazing to me that people who call themselves Christian want to persecute the very people that Jesus stood up for. It's shocking to me.
Keep up your wonderful efforts and go to your commercial.
Fair enough. I do have to take a commercial break. When we come back, with still a little bit more time for your calls, the toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. There were a couple callers you dropped off. Hope you come back during the break, and we'll be right back after this.
But did you know that it's the number one?
For Anna Briggs, now 94 years young, the ethical treatment of animals has been her life's work. Anna Briggs feels that each dog at the Briggs Animal Adoption Center in Charlestown, West Virginia, from scruffy mutt to sleek purebred, deserves a loving home. All have been spayed or neutered and current with their shots and vaccinations. Plus, the majority of dogs have completed basic obedience training. You can find photos and bios of the dogs at the Briggs Animal Adoption Center website, www.baacs.org. That's baacs.org. You'll be doing something very nice for the pet you adopt, and it doesn't take long for you to discover how much these pets will help you and add to your quality of life. The Briggs Animal Adoption Center is an affiliate of the National Humane Education Society. For more information, call 304-724-6558 or visit their website, www.baacs.org.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're taking a philosophical turn today. We're talking about religion and how it informs our politics and when religion goes too far in politics. We're taking your calls at 877-57-SCOOP and also reading your blog entries at radioinsidescoop.com. To my happy surprise, I've seen that, in fact, that Vicky, who I know is a fundamentalist Christian who takes the Bible literally, agrees with Bert, who I know does not, but talks about the separate spheres of science and religion. And so it's nice to find that there are some things we can come together on and agree that religion can do some very, very good things and also some very bad things. And, of course, the question is, well, when does it do one? When does it do the other? When does it go too far? Let me go to the phones. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Yes. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
I'm Rex from Alabama.
Hi, Rex. What are your religious beliefs? How do they inform your political beliefs?
Well, my religious belief today is that I'm an atheist. But
okay.
I was raised a religious fundamentalist, much like Vicky. At one time, I even preached and baptized people.
Wow. What made you change your mind?
To be honest with you, and I'm sure the religious people would just love this statement, it was science. I was also a physics major in college, and I just got so involved in science, I just couldn't keep believing what I've been taught.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, Rex, isn't there a middle ground? Bert writes on the blog that you can, and frankly I agree with him, you can believe in science, believe in physics, believe in evolution, and still believe there are forces such as love that are beyond our understanding that...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I do agree with that. The thing I can't do is the literal interpretation of the Bible and coincide that with science.
Okay. Well, you know what? I agree with you. I guess I would ask that you not necessarily go to atheism, unless, I mean, that's your true belief. Obviously, I respect that there may be something in between. But tell me, you believe that you're absolutely sure there is no God?
No, I'm not, to be honest with you, I should have said agnostic.
Okay. All right. So you're still open to the challenges. Now tell me this. How do your religious beliefs, how do they inform your political beliefs?
To be honest with you, I would say that I'm much more like a Christian than most Christians I know.
Okay.
I believe in helping the poor. I believe in doing what's right toward people who can't help themselves. And that's why I am very put off with religion now, especially since it's moved into the Republican Party such as it has, because they don't seem to care anymore. they say, please F up by your own bootstraps or just lie in a ditch.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's amazing to me how far the Christian Coalition, for example, has gone from the ideas of Jesus without apparent irony. I mean, they act like hurting the poor was a Christian tenet. And yet, every one of its, I mean, no one seems to dispute the president's faith, and I don't know what's in his heart. But at the same time, every policy of his, everything from the bankruptcy to environment to tax cuts to education, it's all about taking from the poor and giving to the rich. And it's amazing to me that this man who talks about his own faith as a born-again Christian so much would do things so contrary to the teachings of Jesus.
I agree with you on that, too. Another thing that's really bothering me these days is Christians seem to have a need to get involved in the government so that they can legislate morality to us and force us to be the way they want us to be. Christ was never about that. Now, the old-time God in the Old Testament, sometimes he did use force, but Christ offered a choice, and we all have a choice. My daughter chooses to be a Christian. She goes to a Christian school. She's going on a missionary trip next week to Mexico, and I'm all for that, and she knows how I believe, and she does try to convert me a little bit every now and then.
I'm sure she does, and that. But as long as it's done through persuasion, that's what we always do.
But the thing I see more and more often now is they want to make their rules for us to have to live by, no matter what our personal beliefs are.
I do see that. And the sad thing is, and it's very interesting in your case, Rex, because I see when you try to force religion down people's throats, it makes people less religious. You know, it's interesting, Europe, for the longest period of time, and still today, most European countries have a state church. People don't even know this, but the French church is the Catholic church. The Italian church is the Catholic church. In England, it is the Anglican church. And you're required in those countries to fund that church through your taxes. And what's interesting is that we see in Europe far less religious sentiment than in the United States, or less, the separation of church and state. I would argue that when you have a country that stays out of religion, a government that stays out of religion and leaves people free to choose, there's actually greater religious sentiment than when you have a country that very much insists on believing in the state religion, because people react against that.
Because you have more freedom.
I think that's exactly right. And frankly, this is a country that was founded on religious freedom. I mean, it's not just the pilgrims, but people came to our shores to escape religious persecution. And I would hate to see our country become some of the things that our early immigrants escaped from. Hey, Rex, thanks very much for your call. I do appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine. Only got about a minute or two left. What's your name? Where are you from?
Mike from Fairfax, Virginia. I don't think the Christian Coalition really believes, we really don't agree with, but we'll get the abortion and gay marriage issues that the Christian Coalition believes in, so they go along with the tax cut. It's not they believe in it. They're just doing it for political purposes. They sold their soul to the devil.
But they say, oh, okay, we'll accept capital gains tax cuts as long as we get our abortion and anti-gay agenda done.
That's what I believe they're doing.
I think that's a very strong point. Thanks for your call. Sorry we have to cut it off, because the show's almost over, and I did promise a little more of my own religious beliefs. So in the last 2 minutes or so, I want to explain some concepts that I like out of Judaism. As I've said, one of the nice things about my particular concepts that has most informed my political beliefs is a mystical concept called Tikkun Olam. And I've talked about this occasionally before. I certainly wrote about it on the blog. Let me explain the concept to you. The concept is that God filled the world and controlled everything, was indeed all-powerful. But in order to give mankind free will, in other words, in order to give Adam and Eve, if you will, once they ate from the tree of life, of knowledge of good and evil, remember, that's the name of the tree, or choose evil. And because we have that free choice, God had to withdraw a bit. God, in my view, is not all-powerful, because in order for mankind to make moral choices, it actually broke the universe a little bit. There were little shards of light all over the place. And it is man's goal, man's agenda, if you will, to work with God to stitch together the universe, to put it back together again by doing good acts. I don't care. It's not about literal truth any more than it's about whether Adam and Eve were the first people on earth. I don't care whether Adam and Eve were the first people on earth. That's not the point. The point to me of the story of Adam and Eve is that man has knowledge of good and evil, has free will to make those moral choices. The point to me of Tikkun Olam is that we can make those choices, right? We can choose our destiny. And so in my mind, that is a worthy goal, even if it's not literally true. And I would conclude by stating one last thing from a Jewish philosopher. But if I am only for myself, when? And I would hope that self, what am